Good morning. In 1922, when Charles Osborne was about 28 years old, he was trying to weigh a hog. He was getting ready to butcher a hog, so he was trying to weigh it. Obviously, so he knew how much it was. And this was not too far from here. Again, it's in Anthon, Iowa, just a little east of Sioux City. I don't know if he was alone, but he was lifting this hog alone up to be weighed. Not a big hog, 350 pounds. So big, but not enormous. And as he was lifting this hog, he fell down. Slipped, fell down in some way. And this hog came down on top of him. With that happening, he wasn't too bad off, actually. He got up, and nothing was seriously wrong with him, except he started hiccuping. And the hiccups didn't go away. Finally, he went to the doctor, and doctor said that he had busted a blood vessel in his brain. A very small one, about the size of a pin, but apparently this blood vessel, it was linked to the nerve, or the small part of his brain that inhibits or stops hiccups. So in 1922, at the age of 28, Charles Osborne started hiccuping. He didn't stop hiccuping until 1990. 68 years later. Hiccups for 68 years. When the hiccups stopped, he was 96 years old. He got to live a year without hiccups. He died at 97 a year later. In the beginning, I found out that Osborne's hiccups occurred at a rate of about 40 times a minute. 40 times a minute, he would. Throughout his life, this gradually slowed down to about 20 hiccups a minute, so half as many. Until, again, when he was 96, they just stopped mysteriously. It's estimated that he hiccuped over 430 million times in his lifetime. Osborne was, of course, entered into the Guinness Book of World Records as the man with the longest attack of hiccups. His condition led him to be a guest star on the Ripley's Believe It or Not radio show. This was in 1936. And he was a guest on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson in 1983. So what are hiccups? Hiccups are an involuntary and abrupt contraction of the diaphragm. So it's a contraction of the diaphragm that causes a sharp intake of breath, and that air intake is then suddenly stopped by the closing of the larynx up in there, which produces that characteristic hiccup sound. These diaphragm contractions are triggered by the nervous system's response to increased abdominal pressure, usually from eating or drinking too fast, eating too much spicy food, drinking too much carbonated drink or alcohol, or even laughing. So don't laugh too much. You might have hiccups for 68 years. I found this story a while back and kept thinking of it, and then there had to be something with it. So I started thinking of hiccups in our spiritual lives, and I began to, I'm just trying to put myself into this Charles Osborne's place of having 40 hiccups a minute for years and years and years, and just kept thinking of how annoying that would be. how tiresome that would be, how irritating that would be to have constantly. And I began to think of those as temptations in our lives. These temptations, these trials that we face in our lives, some of those can be just as annoying, just as tiresome, just as burdensome, I can imagine, as living with hiccups could be. Sometimes these temptations, these spiritual hiccups in our lives, they can be gotten rid of fairly quickly. They can be overcome fairly quickly, and then we're done with them, just like with some cases of hiccups in our real hiccups in our lives. But sometimes these hiccups, these spiritual hiccups, can come back when you least expect them. Sometimes they can be persistent. Sometimes they can stay with us for long periods of time, and we're constantly having to battle them, just like in the case of Mr. Osborne and his hiccups. I think Paul had spiritual hiccups. He had what he called a thorn in his flesh. He had a thorn in his flesh that was obviously annoying him in some way. It was irritating to him. We're not told exactly what this was, but we know he didn't like it. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and 7, talks a little bit about that. And I'll be kind of jumping around from either the New International Version and the New King James Version. This is from New International. 2 Corinthians 12 and 7. To keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. He was given a thorn in his flesh to torment him. I like the other versions have a different word for torment, but I like that word torment, because that's kind of like what a constant hiccups. What I can imagine that would be. It would torment you. It would just get so old and tormenting. So that's what this thorn in the flesh was to Paul, the spiritual hiccup. I don't remember ever having hiccups for very long. I mean, usually just a few minutes and they're gone. So obviously I can't imagine what it would be like to have it for even a day, let alone for 68 years. But I know when you get hiccups, it's hard to get anything else done. You're focusing so much on the hiccups. They're your main priority at that time. If we get the hiccups in public, if we're in a restaurant and we get the hiccups, we're self-conscious about that. We keep thinking other people are looking at us, like, get rid of those hiccups. But so we're embarrassed. We're embarrassed by these. If we get real hiccups in real life, and just like our spiritual hiccups, if it's something that's bothering us, that's constantly bothering us, then we're embarrassed to let other people know, to let them be heard by other people. We try to keep them to ourselves, but when it's something we can't keep to ourselves, when it's something that's apparent that we're having trouble with, it can be, I mean, that's the way we're made. It shouldn't be embarrassing, because like we talked about in class, a lot of this is about what we talked about in class. Everyone has these in their lives, so it's something we all deal with, but yet we still feel embarrassed. And so do Paul, I think. Paul felt self-conscious about his spiritual hiccup, his thorn in his flesh. And when he wrote his letter to the Galatians, he showed his appreciation to them for accepting him in spite of his thorn in his flesh. And in Galatians chapter 4, verses 13 through 14, this would be New King James. You know that because of my physical infirmity, his thorn in his flesh, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. As annoying and as tormenting as having actual hiccups can be, it can also be annoying and tormenting having these spiritual hiccups, these thorns in our flesh, that we just can't seem to get rid of, that they keep coming back in our lives and keep causing us this misery. Because either we can't get rid of them at all, or they keep coming back. As I briefly mentioned earlier, when we do get the hiccups, we find ourselves focused, determined on stopping them, to get rid of them. That's our goal for the next few minutes. We try things that have worked for us in the past. If we're around somebody, they tell us what's worked for them to get rid of these hiccups, and you should try this. But that's our main concern for the next few minutes, or however long they last, is to get rid of those hiccups. In his younger days, Charles Osborne tried, of course, many things to get rid of these hiccups, as you can imagine. He estimated that he received about 4,000 letters offering sympathy and home remedies over the years. Now, remember, this was before internet and Facebook and Twitter, so it was all word of mouth. It was all either friend of a friend of a friend knew him and heard of this. So it was 4,000 at that time. I didn't do any kind of calculations, but I can imagine in today's world that would have been equal to a lot more. But people were sending him these remedies. Like, oh, again, like I said, this worked for me, why don't you try this? Remedies ranging from massaging his fingers to pressing on the right side of his chin. But none of these, of course, worked. But he tried them. He tried them anyway. Says he even traveled as far as Alaska seeking medical advice. In 1978, he went hiccup-free for 36 hours during an experimental hormone therapy, which was affecting the breathing center of the nervous system. So this hormone therapy was trying to get into kind of the breathing center of the nervous system. But unfortunately, the treatment had to be stopped when he developed some other unrelated health problems. So he was starting to get some other problems, and this therapy was then interfering with that, apparently. But can you imagine how joyous he must have been for those 36 hours? In the research, I didn't see when in his life that was, but I can imagine it was, he'd been doing it for a while. But for 36 hours, no hiccups. Must have been so happy. And then the exact opposite, how disappointed he would have been when the hiccups came back, when he had to stop what was working and go back to having those hiccups. As he got older, he gave up on most doctors and these experimental treatments because of the expense involved and the lack of results. He'd become disheartened, maybe. Again, I'm speculating here, but maybe he was giving up hope a little bit. Nothing had worked at this point. He's tried hundreds or thousands of ways, and nothing was working. But throughout all of that, he wanted to get rid of them. He wasn't happy having those hiccups in his life. He wasn't comfortable with having those hiccups in his life. He wanted them gone, but nothing was working. Paul wanted to be rid of his spiritual hiccup too. He wanted to be rid of his thorn in the flesh. In 2 Corinthians, he wrote that he prayed to God to have this removed. I'll be reading through 2 Corinthians chapter 12 for a few more times here. But I just read 2 Corinthians 12 and 7 is when he first talks about the thorn in his flesh. And the next verse, 2 Corinthians 12 and 8. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Paul didn't just pray once. I'm like, okay, it didn't work. He prayed again, and he prayed again. He wanted this removed. This was a thorn in his flesh that he wanted gone. And he wanted it out of his life, but God would not take it away. Did this make Paul disheartened? Did this cause Paul to feel that there was no hope in the life he was living? Did this cause Paul to serve God any less? No, of course not. Paul continued to serve God until he died, in spite of having these hiccups, in spite of having this thorn in his flesh. He may have been disappointed that it wasn't removed, that he still had it, but he accepted that it was something he had to live with. We are going to have these hiccups in our spiritual lives. We're going to have things that tempt us to sin, things that may make it hard or uncomfortable to follow God, to serve God. Things in our lives that try to lead us astray, lead us away from God. All these things are going to happen to us. And we can pray, we should pray, to have them removed. But we need to know that, like Paul, we may be stuck with them. It might be something we just have to endure in our lives and cope with them and battle them every day and adjust our lives to them while still continuing to serve God. When I was first kind of getting into the story of Charles Osborne and his hiccups, there were multiple sources. I got a lot of overlapping material, but occasionally I'd run across one that gave a little bit more information. And one thing, before I found an answer to it, I wondered if he had hiccups while he slept. And he didn't. He had no hiccups while he slept. So if I was him, I'd be sleeping a lot. But that's it. I mean, that almost proves it's more of a mental. It was more of a mental thing on his side, and maybe a physical thing too. Maybe the breathing is different while we sleep. But no, he didn't have any hiccups while he slept. And then while he was awake, that's when the hiccups would start. But over the years, he had learned to suppress a lot of the noise, that sound that comes with it. He was able to quiet that noise by breathing methodically between the hiccups. That's the best insight that I could find, just breathing methodically. It was a technique taught to him by the Mayo Clinic. He had gone up to the Mayo Clinic up there, and they had taught him whatever this method was to be able, I'm sure he could anticipate after years and years, knowing when it was going to come, but being able to breathe at a certain time to quiet that sound. And in the early years, when he had the hiccups, he was able to eat anything he wanted. But it looks like for the last 20 or so years of his life with the hiccups, he had to put all of his meals in a blender. He had to mush or blend up all of his food, just because when he would swallow the food, it was being blended in more of a liquid form. It was easier for his food to reach his stomach in between the hiccups before it got down. So, oh, in a quote, he says he worn out two ostracizers, he said, in his life. So those are blenders. He'd worn out two probably good-sized blenders in blending up all of his food. But Charles Osborne, he adapted to having these hiccups. Again, he wasn't happy with them. He wanted them gone, but he understood it was a part of his life. So he adapted his life in order to live a life while still having these. He didn't let the hiccups control him. He didn't let them live his life any different than he normally would have. I like numbers. So he adjusted his life around the discomfort of hiccuping 20 to 40 times a minute, 1,200 to 2,400 times an hour, 19,000 to 38,000 times a day. Like I said, I'm sure he didn't like it, but he adjusted. He didn't keep them from interfering with his life. Just the fact that he was able to keep his sanity for all that time in dealing with those hiccups is one thing, but again, as I mentioned, he led a pretty normal life. He held a variety of jobs. The only two mentioned was a farm machinery salesman, and what I find interesting, a cattle and hog auctioneer. Can you imagine an auctioneer with the hiccups? Those, it's funny. It'd be something you'd see on like a stand-up show or something, making fun. But it wasn't. It's funny, but it's not. It's just amazing. Can you imagine though an auctioneer with the hiccups? It is humorous, but it's just, it goes to, I think, his resolve. I didn't know him, but he didn't let these hiccups interfere with what he wanted to do. He was able to live his life the way he wanted to, even with the hiccups, even with this irritation in our lives. He was married twice. I couldn't find the reason he had to remarry. I don't know if his first wife died or unfortunately if she left him because of the hiccups, I don't know. But his second wife married him knowing he had the hiccups, marrying him in spite of the hiccups. So again, he didn't just give up. He didn't just give up, crawl in a hole and my life's horrible type of thing. He lived his life with the hiccups. When we have these spiritual hiccups in our lives, we are not to let them control us. We should not let them defeat us. We should live our lives with these temptations, with these trials in our lives, in spite of them. Peter said that we are to rejoice in our sufferings. 1 Peter chapter 4, 13 and 14. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Continuing again in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. When Paul prayed to God, asking that the thorn in his flesh be removed, and God said no. And then responded with the next couple verses. So 2 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 9. But he, being God, said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore," this is Paul now, "therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul, he wanted his thorn in the flesh gone. He wanted that hiccup gone. But when God said no, three times, Paul accepted it and was able to live with it. And gain strength from his weakness, because God shows his power through our weaknesses. It's when we're weak, when we know that we can't make it on our own, that we know we need help in something in our lives, that we know we need God the most, that we turn to him for help more often. If we didn't have troubles in our lives, we wouldn't need to turn to him for help. When Charles Osborne became concerned with his constant hiccuping, and I don't know how soon after it happened that he went to the doctor, but he went to the doctor. He knew he needed help, that these continual hiccups weren't natural. Something was going on. He needed help. When we become concerned with the spiritual hiccups in our lives, when it's something that is just beating us down over and over, we need to go to him. We need to know we need help. So these trials in our lives are a way to make us know that we're not strong enough, that we need him. So it's helping us not to get too prideful. As I briefly mentioned earlier, one of the causes of actual hiccups is eating or drinking too fast. And one of the results when people do this is that they may swallow some air along with their food. And swallowing that air kind of changes whatever the body's natural response is. But it can kind of create that pressure on the diaphragm that's not supposed to be there. And we're not supposed to swallow air. We're supposed to breathe the air into our lungs and eat the food that goes down to our stomach. We're not supposed to swallow the air. When we swallow air, we're swallowing the wrong thing. We're swallowing something we shouldn't. So, in order to, getting rid of hiccups is one thing, but avoiding getting the hiccups in the first place is just as important. So by slowing down and not swallowing that air, being sure we're not swallowing something we shouldn't, could have helped us avoid getting these hiccups in our actual lives, physical lives. In our spiritual lives, we need to make sure what we're swallowing as well. In order to avoid getting spiritual hiccups, we need to make sure that we aren't swallowing something we shouldn't. We need to regularly concentrate on God and His plan and what He expects of us in our lives. We need to pray without ceasing and study His Word. Now, all these things are, of course, easy to say to do, and they're easy to do, but they're also easy to neglect. It's so easy to get busy in our lives and be drawn away from the healthy spiritual food that we're supposed to be eating, and we end up being drawn away to the easy, tempting food of the world. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 and 23. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Let us draw near with a true heart. We need to draw near to God. We need to come to Him and eat the food that He has given us to eat. Eat His Word and fellowship with one another. Going along with the swallowing air, I mentioned what causes that is eating and drinking too fast. So obviously one way to avoid the swallowing the air is not to eat as fast. Don't eat too fast, don't drink too fast. Slow down, enjoy the food, and hopefully avoid getting hiccups. Like the phrase says, stop and smell the roses. So in our spiritual lives, sometimes we need to slow down as well. We need to, like I mentioned, our lives are so busy. We're so distracted by the things in our lives that it can be easy just to one place have our thoughts go from place to place and not concentrating on what we need to be concentrating on. In the 46th Psalm, it says to be still, to be calm, to slow down. I wanted to look at the entire 46th Psalm. It's 11 verses. Psalms 46. Now, the verse that says be still is until the end in verse 10. But listen to what's going on at the beginning, the early parts of this verse, and try to imagine being calm in some of this. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord God Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease and to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Can you imagine being still, being calm, when the mountains fall in the heart of, into the heart of the sea, when the waters are roaring with foam and the mountains are quaking with their surging? I mean, that's stuff you'd see in a movie. Kind of the end of the world type of thing is what I'm thinking of some of those movies I've seen. And yet God is saying, through all of that, be still. Be calm. In our lives can be kind of crazy sometimes. Our lives can move pretty fast and we can find ourselves just reacting to what's coming rather than looking at what's coming and maybe anticipating it, but just letting what comes and then think. Slow down, be calm, and think about what we're doing in our lives instead of reacting too fast and doing something wrong, choosing the wrong thing that we shouldn't do, instead of coming to God and asking for help, because He is our fortress. I'd like to close this morning with some of the cures that I found for hiccups, in case you get hiccups later today. It seems like everyone has a different cure for hiccups, but I found a lot of them can be pretty amusing. Some of them are pretty simple. Holding your breath. Swallow a spoonful of sugar. Kind of common ones. Breathe into a paper bag. Now they get weird. Blow on your thumbs. Rub your earlobes. This is one of my favorites. Spin around clockwise while rubbing your stomach counterclockwise. Drinking water and lemon juice or vinegar from the far side of the glass, from the opposite side of the glass. Think about that one. It says this forces the tongue down and more effectively exposing the back of the mouth to the tart liquid. Drink one full glass of water with a metal spoon in it and make sure the spoon handle is touching your cheek the whole time while you drink the entire glass in one long drink. It didn't say which cheek, so you might have to try it twice. Extend your finger a full arm's length away, hold it still, and fully concentrate your eye on your finger with every bit of your energy. Those are some of the more amusing cures for hiccups I found. Charles Osborne said that one of his well-meaning friends even tried to scare him, as that's another common cure for hiccups, is to get scared. So this friend of his loaded a double-barrel shotgun, and without him knowing, behind his back, fired both barrels at once. Osborne said later, "It scared me, but it didn't scare the hiccups out of me." Now, I wouldn't say that having hiccups is scary, but I didn't have hiccups for 68 years, but I can imagine coming to terms and realizing, okay, these things aren't going away. There'd be some fear there. There'd be a little bit of being scared and some trepidation of, as you realize the things you'd have to live with. But having spiritual hiccups should be scary. But they are a fact of life for Christians. We know we're going to have them, and we should be scared of them, because any one of them could be what lead us away. We need to be careful of these hiccups, these temptations, these thorns in our flesh. But we should also, we should know how to live with them. We should know how to adjust our lives so that they don't rule our lives and we can cope with them. It doesn't mean we just accept them or we're glad we have them, that it means we don't let them control us. Most of the cures for the hiccups, that I, especially the ones I read, have to do with changing our focus. Changing our focus. If we focus on the hiccups, actual hiccups, if you focus on the actual hiccups that we're having, we're going to keep hiccuping. We get rid of our hiccups when we change our focus. If we are focusing on spinning clockwise while rubbing our stomachs counterclockwise, we're not thinking about our hiccups. We're thinking about what we're trying to do at that moment. Our focus is not on the hiccup. We're focused on something else. So no one really knows how to cure real hiccups, but there's only one way to cure spiritual hiccups, and that's God. That's why Paul prayed to God to have him ask him to remove his thorn in his flesh, to remove this spiritual hiccup in his life. Paul then tried to remove this himself that we are aware of, but instead he turned his attention to God. He concentrated on God. He didn't let the hiccup control him. He didn't, I mean, I guess, like I said, this was something he was self-conscious about. He didn't like it, but he didn't avoid talking to people and spreading the word and serving God because of it. His focus was on God. His attention was on God. When we have these spiritual hiccups, when we have trials and temptations, we need to concentrate on God. We need to turn our focus on Him. Not that it will get rid of all of the spiritual hiccups, all the temptations in our lives. But if our focus is on Him, then we're not focusing on the trial that's in our lives. If you need help concentrating on God this morning, if you need help to bringing Him into your life so that He can help you with the trials in our lives, we would be glad to help you with that this morning, and you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing.